Hey, this is Johnny Damon, your favorite caveman from the 2004 World Champion Boston Red Sox. You're listening to Boston's Big Three Podcast, presented by Ride the Wave Media.
And welcome back to Boston's Big Three, presented by Ride the Wave Media, episode 88. We're getting up there. We're getting into our upper 80s. We're old men now. We're aging. We're aging like a fine wine. Boston's Big Three, we are. Some good stuff. Definitely take a look at Boston's Big Three. Pages blown up. We got some good giveaways going on over on Spike, the Spikeheads account, for some fun Patriots merch for him taking an L the other day. But that's at your benefit, so it's a good thing. We got a Patriots Julian Edelman signed photo.
Think about fan of the year, and I didn't get fan of the year, and it's because the Patriots don't want to support the Spike King and everything that comes with it. And because I became a runner up, they gave me a bunch of stuff, and I was like, I don't want this.
So now it's the people's. Now it's other Pats fans. It works.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just want to help out other people. That's the whole point of it. We have a Julian Edelman 8x10, like a sign. I'm not an autograph guy, so.
Someone who is going to end up with it.
We have the Dynasty book. Like, we have some great stuff.
Have you read that book? I'm very interested in reading that. We'll have to talk about that. We'll have to have a Big Three book club.
Yeah. I should have started reading it by now, but I haven't started yet. I've been slacking on it.
You have your own personal copy from Jeff, right?
Yeah. So what happened was I ended up, we're at the Pats Pro Shop and they had it all out there in display. And right. I know Matt Gordon's read it and he said like, oh, the Dynasty book's really good. Good read, Spike. Like, you're going to get a lot of insight. So when we're at the Pats Pro Shop, I dropped a hint to Michelle, like, oh, like maybe this would be a good Christmas present. So she bought one and to get shipped to our place. And literally the next day, the author hit me up and said, hey, do you want your own personal copy? I'll send you one.
Heck,
he sent me one and it was signed. And then she gave the copy of the Dynasty to her father for Christmas. And then I got a third copy from the Patriots themselves. Man. So I was like, this is a good giveaway. So I had three copies of it pretty much.
I haven't
opened the book yet. I brought it with me to work because I was like, oh, I have a lot of downtime and off time. And I just like scroll TikTok the entire time instead of fun, sitting down and
reading. It's better for your mind to read the book than stay on TikTok for an hour.
Yeah, I gotta read it because even Jeff Benedict said, I'm really interested to see you like talk about it on your social media and stuff. Cause I want to do like that book club type of thing. But I also wanted to wait till after Christmas because I know some people are getting it. So
that's fair. We'll have to say, like, hey, you read this chapter this week. We're gonna talk about it on Boston's Big Three. We're in the book club section, something like that. Cause there's plenty of good Patriots books out there. I know, I think my most recent read was, what was it? The Julian Edelman's book. That was a great one.
Relentless.
Relentless. Got some good insight. See where he's from, where he's going right now. They need to do a sequel now because he won a Super Bowl MVP since that book's come out. But getting into things, it's wild card weekend here in the NFL. We had three games yesterday, three games today. One is still ongoing. I think it's the Browns and the Chiefs. And I think the Browns are winning right now, if I'm not mistaken.
The Browns and Steelers, and it was 21-0 right before I got on here. Yeah.
It's some fun things. I'm not a big football guy. Everyone knows this. I'm the baseball basketball guy here. But what are your – do you have any initial first thoughts on some things you've seen? I watched the end of the Bucks game. That's the only football I've watched this weekend.
So I really watched yesterday's games, which was Saturday's games. I watched all that through today. It was a little bit busier for me. I kind of woke up late during the day, so I missed the first half of the first game, and I have been just kind of dabbling in and out of the games. I did make some notes. We can just go game by game, pretty much. So the first game of the weekend was Indianapolis at Buffalo. Phillip Rivers, classic Phillip Rivers at the end of the game, completely choked. I mean, they had a shot to go down the field just to tie the game. They're only down 3 points. And he had two straight passes out of bounds, like just chucking it way out of bounds. And he's just stacking everybody to the left side of him. Now, it's funny because Rivers had 309 yards, two touchdowns. He doesn't have a bad stat line, but it's just classic. Like, they were down in the game pretty much 10 points most of the time, double digits. And then all of a sudden it was like a drive that took 2 minutes and 53 seconds. The next drive took a minute and 50 seconds to score again. So it's like you're showing signs of life at the end and then you just completely puke on yourself. They left 10 points on the field right before halftime. And I didn't see this because I was driving at the time, but Indianapolis was on the 4-yard line, Buffalo's 4-yard line, and they turned the ball over on downs. Buffalo took it on their own 4, drove all the way down the field and scored right before halftime. And then Blankenship also missed a field goal during the game too. So
Well, that's the 3 points you're missing right there.
And those are your 3 points. And then the extra touchdown would have won the game. Yeah. So I do give Josh Allen some credit because there was a play where he had the ball. He was running in with it, bumped off the line, was about to go down for and take like somewhat of a sack. And he just chucked the ball up into the end zone. And they had a wide open tight end for a touchdown. So I give Josh Allen credit there because of awareness. It's like, that's what we were missing with Cam Newton a little bit this year, because Cam Newton can run the ball, don't get me wrong, but when he feels that pressure, you got to get the ball away and you got to find the open guy around you. So I give Josh Allen credit there. Buffalo allowed fans in there. It looked kind of packed, but it was all in the lower bowl. I actually talked to one of our guys, Buffalo Shouts, me and GRD got to meet him last year. Awesome guy. So he said he found out last minute he was getting tickets to the game. So they did COVID testing on site. Like you went to a tent, they tested you and they told you whether you were negative, positive within a couple minutes. They had all like, it's funny how it works, right? You can go get COVID tested and find out 5 days later.
Yeah.
Or if they really want to find out, you find out in like 5 minutes. So everybody in that stadium had to have a negative COVID test to get in there. He did tell me that the atmosphere wasn't that great. He said a lot of the people in there were like 40-year season ticket members and stuff. Like gotcha. It was just
not the real Bills Mafia that we've seen online.
Said wasn't the crazies in there. I mean, he was like, it was cool. It was a good experience, but he's like, it wasn't what you expected it to be. He said, you know, it got sold more on social media and within the media than it was actually inside the stadium. But I mean, the Buffalo Bills, they're it's so hit and miss with me because like 1 week they look unstoppable. They look great.
Right.
And then the next week I'm like, they're beatable, but they're beatable. You know, they can be beatable. So it'll be interesting going forward next weekend. We're still going to have to find out with this our current Cleveland Pittsburgh game going on as we're filming this, but we'll find out who they play next week. But I mean, if they do play Baltimore, which we'll get into a little bit later, I mean, it's going to be a tough test for Buffalo, but it'd be kind of cool to see them going forward.
Just a score update. It is the first quarter just finished of that Browns-Cleveland or that Browns-Steelers game that you were talking about.
Yep.
Kind of made my eyes pop. Do you know what it is? I'll inform you right now.
I'm recording on a phone, so I have no idea.
Would you like to know what the score is right now? I want your live reaction.
It's got to be 28 to nothing.
It's 28 to zero right now.
Yeah.
It's bananas.
So what's crazy, I know we'll talk about the Cleveland game a little bit later, but just it's crazy because this kind of reminds me of the Dallas game earlier this year. I think Cleveland went up huge in that game, like right away, and Dallas started crawling back into it. But all week was like Browns have no coaches. They had COVID hit their locker room. They had no coaching staff whatsoever. And I don't know if you watched any of the game to start. The first play of the game, Marquise Pouncey threw it right over Big Ben's head, and it went right to the end zone, and the Browns scored in the first play, defensive touchdown. Then Big Ben threw an interception right on their second drive, and then it was a quick pass to Jarvis Landry, went right into the end zone, and they were already up 14-0. So 28-0. I mean, the Browns are good. It's still early. You never know.
You still got three quarters left.
So game one, Indianapolis and Buffalo was a good way. The refs, again, it's funny when the wild card weekend's here because the refs are – it really shows their true colors of how much they suck. There was a play at the end of the game where Indianapolis fumbled the ball, clearly fumbled it, and they kept it Indy's ball to give them another chance to try to go down the field and score. And that's coming from a dedicated Pats fan to say that was Buffalo's ball and it should have ended right there. So ball don't lie. That's why probably Indianapolis lost that game. You go to the second game, it was the Rams at Seahawks. So this was a game where the LA Rams were on their backup quarterback.
XFL quarterback, I think.
Yep. Like they benched Jared Goff because A, he's been sucking down the stretch, and B, he just had surgery 12 days prior to that on his thumb. Within the first or second drive, their backup quarterback, I think it's Wolford or something, he goes down with a hit from Jamal Adams. Jeez. And it wasn't
getting taken to the hospital from what I read.
Yep. It wasn't a helmet to helmet. It was a shoulder to helmet. And watching it's a quick play. And I know a lot of people going after Jamal about it. And And I won't go against it. I don't think it was a complete dirty hit. I mean, if you're a quarterback and you're driving down with your head, you're going to get hit. It's not like you're giving yourself up and you're sliding right backwards. My main takeaway from this, and it comes from Rundog, and this is a good question to you, Watabi. What's the narrative for Russell Wilson? Because it's been 6 years since Russell Wilson has done anything, since Super Bowl 49. They haven't done anything since Super Bowl 49. And they're a team that's either 7-9, 9-7. They're playing around with the playoffs. They're kind of somewhat tickling it there. They're almost there. And you look at this year, and it's like, hey, you had DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Russell Wilson himself is good. Chris Carson was good. Their offense looked good. Their defense was pretty trash. But Russell Wilson had a terrible game. A horrendous game yesterday, kind of Cam Newton-esque type of game too. What's the narrative? Like what's Russell Wilson going to do going forward?
This season was exactly what his career has been up to this point. So if you look at the broad scheme and then just this season alone, it matches perfectly because Russell Wilson started on this hot streak this year. Like I was giving him mad praise on this show at the beginning of the season, probably up until like week 4, week 5, like Russell Wilson's going to get some MVP votes this year. Like it's going to be the first time he was throwing 5 touchdowns a game. And then the place it all changed. It all changed after Russell Wilson wanted to say he was trying to trademark the phrase "let Russ cook." I saw this on Twitter, so this is what I'm choosing to believe. He wanted to trademark the phrase "let Russ cook," and then from there on out, I think he was averaging maybe 200 yards passing and maybe 1 touchdown for the rest of the season.
Jinxed himself.
He jinxed himself, and that it's tough to watch because I'm a big Russell Wilson fan. Like, he's one of those guys. Like, if he was in a Patriots uniform, all for it. We'll get into that later. But Russell Wilson and the Seahawks just had a really disappointing year down the stretch. I'm surprised they even made the playoffs with how strong their division was this year.
Well, they even said during the game that the Rams were having a tough stretch, you know, going down the line and Goff got benched. And I mean, Goff was not starting that game. So it's kind of funny because that Rams team is coming off a Super Bowl a couple years ago. They made it there. So it's interesting that Goff got in there and it's got to be a confidence boost for that entire squad to be able to go to be able to get a win like that. And I believe they're playing Green Bay next week. It's official now because all the NFC games are done. So they're going to go into Green Bay. And I mean, that's still a tough defense. It'll be interesting to see how Aaron Rodgers handles it. I mean, I don't see the Rams beating the Packers, but it's just, that's a solid win. I mean, if you're a Rams fan and you're like, we made it to at least a divisional round, you should be happy with that.
Right. I totally feel that same way. But moving into the next game, it's the last game of the night, I think the Bucks and then the Washington football team.
Heinicke? Is that how you say
Heinicke.
His name? Heinicke?
The Heinicke.
Heinicke. Heinicke. So he looked better than fucking Cam Newton. Like he looked great. But here's the thing.
I turned that game on for the fourth quarter. And I just saw this guy. I'd never heard of this guy's name. It's just like Heinicke. So he came out of the locker room or something. And it's just, I watched him try to do a game-winning drive against the king of game-winning drives, against Tom Brady. And I just see this guy who I've never heard his name before last night. He's just out there slinging dimes, doing things I haven't seen all year from watching Patriots football.
So here's the thing. When you're in a guy and you're in his situation, right? You're in his position. You have nothing to lose. You're going into that with no pressure. Because if he sucks and stinks it up, no one's going to give a shit. I mean, he just got signed back
in December. Quarterback in the playoffs. It didn't work out.
It didn't work out. You know, what it is what it is. Now, because he did something, is there something there? Not necessarily. Like, he still could go into next year and, like, in camp and just completely look like trash. It doesn't mean that he's going to automatically become a starting quarterback. It's a feel-good moment. It's like, you're going into a game, you just feel yourself sometimes. Sometimes you have that game where you can drop in basketball, you drop 40 points, and then you're just scoring 2 points for the rest of your career. Like sometimes you might just have that one magical moment. And it worked out for him in that sense. I will say for Tampa Bay side, so Brady had 40 passing attempts. He was 55% for his completion rate, 381 yards, 2 touchdowns, but 3 sacks. He took 3 sacks. And when they got pressured him, Chase Young and that line, that defensive line pressured him, Brady looked pretty rattled out there. He looked a little bit nervous. He was throwing the ball away and everything. Mike
Evans. He's still that dude.
Mike Evans had 119 yards, so his injury really didn't look like it mattered. Antonio Brown caught a touchdown. That's 5 touchdowns in the last 4 games for Antonio Brown. I don't trust the Bucs defense. They were getting they're playing zone all night, and it looks like they were just getting chewed up down the middle the entire time. So now that it's official with the Saints game that they just won and the Rams won, it's going to be Breeze versus Brady's next.
That's exciting. That's gonna get TV views. That's gonna sell tickets that don't exist. I'm excited. Yeah. I may not even watch the game. When I hear Breeze Brady, I'm excited.
And it's actually gonna be the last game of the weekend too. It's gonna be Sunday at 6:40. So I look at that game and it's the thing is, I don't see the Saints pressuring Brady. I mean, they won twice against the Bucs. They're trying to go for the clean sweep this year, 3-0 against them. But if you can pressure Brady and knock him around a little bit, he's going to get rattled. But I think Breeze can carve that defense up. They just don't look ready. And I'm saying it this way too. Brady will not lose the Bucs the game. He's not going to cost them anything. It's not like he's going to throw these interceptions or turnovers or have a bad day where he has like a less than 200 yards.
Yeah. Tom Brady doesn't have bad days in the playoffs. That's not existent.
Yeah, it's going to come down to his defense, and this is it could be a recipe for disaster here, going against Kamara and Michael Thomas and Breeze, especially when they just came off a healthy win today. So
those guys are a matchup nightmare. I don't care who they're playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Now today's game, the 3 games today. So the first game was Baltimore at Tennessee. This is a little rival that's been going on. So these are the games I haven't really watched, but a couple quick notes. You had Derrick Henry had 2,000 rush yards and only had 40 yards today.
He had 2,000 yards last night or this morning. He had 2,000 yards just today. He might have. I didn't watch. I'm not surprised if he had 2,000 yards just today.
No, he had 2,000 yards in the season. I mean, he had 2,000 yards in the season, 40 yards today. Lamar Jackson had 136 rush yards today. Lamar Jackson was that dude. Lamar Jackson said he only had, I think, 170 passing yards. But Lamar's like, I have to carry this team on my back today. And that's what he did. And he got the win. And I'm glad to see Lamar get over the hump. I'm not rooting
against
Lamar.
First playoff win, right?
What?
It's his first playoff win?
Yeah, first playoff win. So I'm not rooting against Lamar Jackson and hoping that he never becomes something, because you want him to be. Yeah. You want to see that next era come up.
You
want to
see guys become the next face of the league. That's a cool thing. Like just seeing all these young guys like Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, just becoming like the next wave of guys, the way that like we grew up with Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, and Tom Brady.
So the way they play today, it's just a good look at what they did last year. They were top team last year and they looked like booty. When they just down the stretch, and this is a team that has to now claw their ways in. So with Cleveland being up 28-0 right now, and if Cleveland wins, they hold on to it. They play Kansas City. The Ravens play Buffalo. That is going to be a slugfest between both of them, because I believe that they can get to Josh Allen. If Josh Allen wants to prove that he's legitimate, this is a great time to go against.
That's exciting. Just looking at the two sides, like looking at the AFC and NFC, when we're talking about like old guys and these young guys, when you could potentially have two of the young guys, Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson, whereas in the NFC, we just finished talking about, you have Breeze versus Brady and the old guys in the league. It's fun to see.
Even Baker Mayfield's there was so much hype around. I like Baker. He's a likable guy. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Baker Mayfield, and he's gone through his lumps. And I mean, they win today to win a playoff game for Cleveland. And think about the age we live in right now.
They might throw Buffalo a parade just if they just win the playoff game.
Buffalo winning playoff game and winning a home playoff game. Then you have the Cleveland Browns about to win a playoff game. Like it's the league's changing, and crazy. It's for the good.
The good. I'm enjoying it. Sign me up. It's entertaining for sure. Cause I'm one of those guys who are like, if you were like, people do this all the time, you rank your like four top four sports. Like, it's usually like football and basketball at the top. Or I'm odd. I'm baseball, basketball, football. So I'm a rare breed, but I am enjoying the football scenarios right now. It is a fun time to be an NFL fan.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Like you said, like you're going to watch a lot of these on the NFC side of it. I mean, you have, Jared Goff, I mean, but he's gotten his experience of a Super Bowl. You got Brady, you got Breeze and Rodgers. Like you have three top quarterbacks, and then you have that Goff, which is the middle of the road. You know, he's been at least to a Super Bowl. And then on the flip side, next weekend you're going to end up having Baker, Mahomes, and you're going to end up having you're going to have Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Like that's going to be exciting for casual fans to say this is like the up and coming guys. You know,
exactly.
it's coming in the league. So the middle game today, Chicago at New Orleans. I didn't really watch the game. I felt like Chicago had no chance. They scored.
I didn't even know Chicago was in the playoffs.
Yeah, they snuck today. In at that 7 seed. So they scored a late touchdown. Jimmy Graham caught the last touchdown of the game, like with 0 seconds left. So the score, I believe, was like 21-9 to finish the game. It was 21-3. I mean, New Orleans was in control the entire game. I believe David Montgomery had maybe it wasn't a turnover. See, I didn't really watch the game because it just felt like it was. I was like, New Orleans is gonna win. Like it's right. gonna win. So, and then right now we have the Cleveland game. It's like you said, 28-0. If that's still the updated score now,
that is still the score. But that's just the fun thing about all these games, especially looking at the 12 teams that played during the last 2 days, is they all have quarterbacks that can throw. Even Lamar Jackson, he is up there. I'd say he's not the best one, but he's definitely one of those guys. When you look down the list of all these guys that are just able to throw the football, speaking of guys that can throw the football, the Patriots are looking most likely for a new quarterback. Guys that can throw the football, names include Deshaun Watson. I'm all in. I think Bleacher Report Gridiron dropped a mock trade scenario that involves Stidham and a few first round picks going to the Texans for Deshaun Watson, and Pats fans were ecstatic. I had thought it had happened already. Is one of those posts you see like, holy crap, is this happening? Like, is Deshaun Watson going to be a Patriot? And while it is one of those exciting things, I personally believe that it will never happen, because you don't trade guys like that to Bill Belichick, because then you're going to get exposed for saying, oh, why'd you trade that guy? Like, he's the best.
Yeah. Listen, if you said Babs, like, I got shit on it because I even posted about it. And it's just like, oh, I thought you wanted Stidham and this and that. It's like, I'm not going to deny Deshaun Watson.
If you're comparing the two.
Silent MVP this year. Like, and I will say, you give up 2 first-rounders and you go get Deshaun. Absolutely. You go get that guy. If you want to make a statement, you go do that. But would it make sense for Houston to do it compared to some of the other teams? Like, Miami had a potential offer of Tua in the 3rd overall pick and another pick for Deshaun. Like, that works out for both sides, for both teams. So, I mean, we're going to hear this all offseason. Every quarterback's coming to New England. Every single one of them is going to be coming here. It's just a pipe dream. That's all it is. Like, it's not going to happen.
It's one of those things that would be so fun if it happened, but it's going to be one of those things like you're talking about. It's just a revolving, like, news story, but it's just going to be something that fills our heads this offseason.
I will say that. So now, like, I'm rooting against the Bucks because I just want to keep that Brady Belichick narrative like down a bit, because I don't want Brady to have that upper hand, especially winning a Super Bowl. Even if he goes to the Super Bowl, that's just the narrative is going to be all for Brady. And it really is right now. But if Brady wins it all, think about the pressure from the fans and the media to Belichick. Cause you're going to be like, you just got rid of that guy and he won a Super Bowl the next year down in Tampa Bay. Now, although they got all the pieces down there, doesn't matter. Brady didn't play like shit this year. And you let that guy go and do that, Belichick is going to get crucified by the media. And it kind of puts pressure on Belichick to be like, you have to go get Watson. Yeah. You have to go get a top caliber quarterback. I've talked it out with plenty of different people about this, and there's so many different scenarios that you can go into. And I really think the best scenario, Brendan Watabe, is that I know you're going to hate this, and I know a lot of people are going to hate this, but truly, I think if you can get an NFL caliber quarterback, you go get it. But you also have to look at the cap space and where you want to spend your money. All right. So I've said this numerous times. Does Jimmy Garoppolo really want to play in New England? Does he want to play in the cold weather? Does he want to play for Belichick? Does he still have that fire and passion under him? Same thing with Matt Stafford. Does that guy at his age want to come and play in New England and play in a hard market, hard media market? Does he want to deal with all the negative press if he fucks up? So that's the thing that you got to look at, and fans need to look at as well too. Do you want to go get Ryan Fitzpatrick's not leading you at anything. He's just a bridge guy. He's not going to do anything for you. So I look at those guys, and if you go get them, I'm going to support it. That's when I know I've been very negative about Cam Newton. I'd rather keep Cam Newton if you're going to go get one of those guys. And you say, why? He sucks. It's because you bring in a Matt Stafford. I know Jimmy Garoppolo's a different story because he's already been here. But you bring a Matt Stafford and a Ryan Fitzpatrick or that other quarterback, now they have to come in here, learn the complex playbook, they have to try to find time to spend with the receivers and offense to get on the same page where we're still in the middle of COVID and things are still kind of restricted. That's when I just say, just stick with Cam Newton then, because he already knows the playbook and already has done that one season. That's when I say I will stick with him if that's the road you're going into.
Right.
That's the road that we're looking at right now. I think they should go on the opposite side and they should stick with Stidham. And it's not me. Listen, you got to listen. You got to let me finish. It's not me saying Stidham's the next guy. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you stick with Jarrett Stidham, but when you have that 15th overall pick, you draft Trey Lance, you draft Zach Wilson, you draft the quarterback, you go right to Jarrett Stidham and say, kid, you've been in our system for 2 years. You had Brady, you had Cam Newton, and you had Brian Hoyer teaching you things. You know these guys, these playbook. You have 2 years left with us. We're starting you next year, but you have someone right under you that's ready to take a job at any time. So that's because I tell everybody, unless your name's Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, you're not starting next year, not right away. Justin Herbert wouldn't have been starting right away either until that right. happened with Tyrod Taylor. So I look at those two. I look at the best scenario is you bring in a Zach Wilson or Trey Lance, and Stidham's going to be like, oh, my God, if I don't perform, I might lose my NFL career. Because if I can't perform here, I'm not going to be able to perform anywhere else. And teams are going to notice that. So then say an example is Stidham does okay. You go into the next year. Say and you go and say they went 4-12. So say he does bad.
Right.
Okay. Stidham, see you later. We're cutting ties with you. We're gonna start Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, and we have a top pick. We're gonna get that all good to go. And fans should be excited because this is a first round draft pick that you know that they've invested some time and in money into. So it's you look at it that way. And lastly, you still need that veteran guy to come into camp. And I still think you should look at Jameis Winston because he's gonna be a cheap option. He was a $1 million. Quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, and I don't see him staying there. I think he's going to get an opportunity somewhere. And if Belichick goes to Jameis and does what he did with Cam and says, here's a very incentivized contract for you, you know, that would might lure Jameis in here. The point of my story, Brendan, is that if you can get a Zach Wilson or a Trey Lance, I don't care who it is, if you can get a first round quarterback and a Jarrett Stidham and a Jameis Winston, you're spending about $4 to $5 million on your cap between those three quarterbacks.
It's like a research investment.
And that's what they did this year with Cam Newton, right? But it was kind of a lost year between, and I'll give Belichick the, I'm not the opt-outs, but I'll give him the COVID practice. You can't really practice too much. And I'll give him the salary cap excuse. I'll give him that cap excuse. But going into next year, you can kind of revamp that because I'd rather take that money and spend that on receivers or spend it on, you know, the offensive line. Like, that's where they should focus that money on. So, and I think that that's a good way to push Stidham because it's like, I might lose my fucking job and I've had enough tools and everything to learn here. So it's going to be that way, or it's going to be, we're going to go out and find an NFL caliber quarterback right now. And we're just going to put him in here. But again, I'm almost inclined to say I'd rather keep Cam Newton than Matt Stafford because of the fact that Stafford has to come in here and learn the playbook and meet Nikhil Harry and meet Jacoby Myers and meet all these players and Damian Harris and Sonny Michel and practice with them. It doesn't mean that Stafford comes in here and they automatically become good. He could have bad chemistry with these guys. Like, I also look at this too in the sense that Stidham's young, a new quarterback's young, that offense is very young. They're all going to kind of feel, they're going to be kind of together. They're going to have a similar mindset, that generational kind of mindset together. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a topic going back and forth.
Yeah. If there was one of those guys that you want to start next year, you get to choose one. I'm giving you this option again, but they can't be on the team. They can't be on the team right now. One guy, either from the draft or a free agent.
So I'm not like good with the quarterbacks for in terms of like the draft. Like
right. Nor am I.
I would love if Belichick went to the Jaguars and like just traded the farm to get like Trevor Lawrence or whatever. Like you want that to happen, right?
Yeah.
And so I would like a Trevor Lawrence to be here. I would like a Justin Fields to be here or something like that. Like that's like, yo, we're doing this. I'm looking at the short list. Like I look at Jimmy G, I'm just like, does he have his heart in it? Like I don't know. I really don't think he does. I look at Sam Darnold and I'm like, the Jets are not giving us Sam Darnold. Like that, yeah. Everyone needs to get that out of their head. Carson Wentz, I'm not a believer in Carson Wentz. You, and I don't think the Eagles would want to trade with the Patriots. There's another thing people need to think about.
I think that one would be more likely than them trading with the Jets. I think New England made their first trade with the Jets in franchise history like a year ago.
I agree with that. But again, what you said was like so true. It's like, why would you trade with Belichick and hand him something? You'd rather just say, fuck that team. They're on their own. Like, don't give them anything. Even if we know that's the right deal, don't give them anything.
And that's usually what happens in the NFL.
Well, look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. They didn't give Antonio Brown up, and the Pats offered a better deal than the Raiders did, and they still end up getting him. But it's like they didn't do it on purpose because we're not giving him to New England. Dak Prescott kind of interests me. So and here's the thing is that you might be able to snag Dak Prescott cheap because what's his injury? Is he ready to come back? And I truly think I said Jimmy G might be a good fit down in Dallas. Like Dallas is kind of an interesting take right now because they're moving on from Andy Dalton. And I think they should move on from Dak Prescott because do they want to hurt themselves by bringing Dak in and taking a risk on his injury and you don't know what's going to happen? This is a good time for Jerry Jones to look at the market. Carson Wentz could be a good – they have an offense ready to go. Like Carson Wentz could be a good fit down there. Sam Darnold could be a good fit in Dallas. Like they have something there. They're a team that's going to grab a quarterback.
They're a much more attractive team than signing with the Patriots right now.
So Dak Prescott interests me too, because maybe you can get him. I mean, he's a max kind of guy. So it's like, he's not going to get that, but I don't want to get tied into that either. So it's something that if Dak Prescott, if you could see him, if I'm Belichick and you see what Dak Prescott has, and he's a free agent, you see what he has and you watch him, you're like, I think he has it. Then sign him because he's an NFL caliber quarterback that's ready, that you know that he can be an MVP type candidate. He's still pretty young and he's got something to prove. He's still hungry and comes into a good system like this for New England. So I would take the Dak Prescott. I don't think
so. Is that your name then? Cause I heard a whole lot of names just there, but I know. Is that one guy?
And it's not going to be Jared Stidham. It's going to be I'm going to go with the Dak Prescott. Okay. I'm going to go with Dak Prescott.
Interesting. I'm a fan of that. I wouldn't be upset about that. I think it is going to be a brutal divorce down there in Dallas because like Jerry Jones has been so high on Dak Prescott. He's the guy that replaces Tony Romo. Like Tony Romo was their guy for so long. And now,
I don't think that I've heard rumors. Like I don't think Jerry Jones wanted Dak Prescott to be their starter, but because of the Tony Romo thing and Dak came in and he played well, it's like you're kind of there.
Yeah.
And it's almost Jerry Jones's excuse to just break the tie and start something new.
Right.
Because I just feel that Dak Prescott, although he's great in the regular season, they just haven't won anything. Like Jerry Jones is the guy that will sell his soul to win one more Super Bowl before he's dead. That's what he's going to do. So I just, with that list that I just said, even a Matt Stafford to Dallas or Jimmy G or Wentz or even Cam Newton. I've said Cam Newton should go to Dallas. There's a better fit there than Dak, and that Dak's going to be out there in limbo. Can Belichick if his injury isn't as severe and he looks good and he still has his mechanics down? I mean, it's just a leg injury. It's not like it's anything to do with his shoulders or throwing motion or anything like that. But if he's good enough that and the money's right, I think Dak could be a good fit for the Patriots. If you're going to go that route.
The QB carousel is always a ton of fun. It's like last year was the total cycle, like guys going from New England to Tampa to I don't even know the rest of them, but it was like the big thing, you know?
Yeah.
But speaking of guys going down to Tampa, I had the pleasure of going down and visiting our guy, Jay Lasard, down there in Tampa Bay to get a firsthand view of Celtics basketball in 2020 and 2021. So I actually went down to Tampa Bay there on Monday, spent a few hours there, and me and Jay went around town. He took me to all the spots. We drove by Tom Brady's house, obviously.
That's dope.
Yeah, there was fun story. Like when Jay drove us through, there's the whole whole little neighborhood, and then just massive houses, the side lining the water. And he pointed out, oh yeah, that one's Tom's. Takes up like the span of where like three houses would normally be. And there's a car parked outside. It's like yachts, something like Tom was talking to some guy about getting a yacht. That's what we know. That's breaking news here. Tom's getting a yacht, going to name it Eight Rings to challenge Bill's little dinghy that he's got up in New England. But it was a good time. We got to go to a Celtics game and we were up in the nosebleeds, but hey, not a lot of people that I know that have gotten to actually go in and get the joy of watching a live sporting event here in the last few months. So we were very, very honored. And especially since Tampa, actually the Raptors, everyone, they just shut down fans in the stands. So me and Jay got in right in time. It was great time. We were kind of upset. Peyton Pritchard went off for 23 points, I believe, got his new career high. But Jason Tatum was a point shy of his career high. He was sitting on 40 points for probably like the half of the second half. It was a tough – we were cheering for it the entire time, but the man couldn't miss. But moving on to Celtics talk, it was
– I didn't know they stopped fans down there.
Yeah.
So it was just a quick – Yeah, experiment, Jay, and then that was it.
Jay let me know yesterday, and we were like, oh my god, we got in right in time, because the NBA is dealing with a lot of COVID at the moment. We'll talk about that with the Celtics in a minute, but teams getting hit with the bug right now. What are your thoughts on that? I know you're a big fan of shutting it down for a week and let it reset, let the system clear out, let COVID do its
thing. I said episodes ago, we sat there and you try to nitpick the things I say on this show, and you try to spin it to be like, oh, Spike, there's 72 games this season.
Hot take.
Like, what are you talking about? I said, there's no way they're going to be able to get through this season. Like, I don't see it happening. And they were close to forcing it tonight and saying that, hey, Celtics, you got 8 players, go ahead and go play it. It took a Miami Heat player to fucking test positive or negative to be like, all right, let's just shut this shit
down. That's what I love about it, though, is the Sixers had to do that two or three nights ago and play with only like 7-8 players. And they said, yeah, Sixers, Philly, you got to play. Good luck. And the NBA looks at the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat and says, those are some elite franchises. We can't have them playing a game without their starters. And they pulled the plug. Like, not a single starter was going to be available for the Celtics.
Tonight. It comes down, like, this is a players' league, so it comes down to the player. Like, the NBA, and it's not Adam Silver, it's probably the owners more, saying, like, we're just going to keep playing until the players make a stink about it. Once the players make a stink about it, like, the fact that Tatum's out for 2 weeks, that's huge. Like, that's huge against the franchise for the Celtics. Yeah. Like, you don't have your guy there. So, and then if you're Jason Tatum and you've been exposed to COVID and you have your kid at home, do you like want to keep coming back and being exposed to all this bullshit? And then now when you're in the NBA season, you're in a rhythm, like you're playing in and out. And now, do you want to play and then take 2 weeks off, then play and then might get it again later in the season and take another 2 weeks off? Do you want to deal with all this bullshit?
Right.
And then it's going to come down to, should we do a bubble again? Like, it's just, and that's why I said there's not – I don't feel like they're going to have a full season. I mean, they didn't technically have a full season because there's only 72 games, but I meant it as a – they're not going to finish the season at all.
Do you think they're going to make up this game between the Heat and the Celtics eventually?
So in the second half of the season when they don't have the schedule out yet, that's when they'll make it up. They'll see that.
I think that's exactly why they did that in the first place.
Isn't it kind of interesting that the Celtics play down in Miami and then all of a sudden they get COVID? And they're probably at the strip clubs or something like that. I also think it's interesting too. How the fuck does the Williams guys and who else had it? Thompson. They all get it, but everyone else was fine. And then the next game, it's like, oh well, everyone else has it now. Right. It makes no sense. They all have it. They all have something.
See if we can pull it up. It was like Thompson, Tice, Traymond. I think it was a long list. Shemmy was on the list.
Today's game that was supposed to happen. Yeah. Jaylen Brown, Javonte Green, Langford, Semi Ojeleye, Tatum, Thompson, Walker, and both Williams were both going to – all of them going to be out. They only had 8 players ready to go. Now, I want to say that.
Taco would have started tonight.
I want to say Taco versus Washington. I actually watched the game.
Yeah.
He had 19 minutes, only 4 points, all right? But 8 rebounds, 3 blocks, and he was a plus 13. He was the third highest plus minus on the team. He did make a difference because all he did was stand to the basket and he made Washington like
force they made him take some tough outside. Shots. Yeah. If you can force teams like Washington where you have one guy like in Bradley Beal where you're going to respect the hell out of his jumper, you're going to live with the rest of that team shooting jump shots as long as you got Taco Man in the paint. And that's he was receiving high praises after that game from the coaches, from Jaylen, from all these guys with the Celtics just saying he is ready for this moment. The moment arrived and he was ready for it.
When you look at Taco, he's scrawny. Like, he's still pretty small, and it's hard to ask for a guy like that to build muscle. Like, it's not just going to magically happen. because I think it was Robin Lopez that's on the Wizards, yeah, went in there and kind of bullied him around down low. Like he was kind of hitting him a little bit and moving him around. So you can move Taco, but it's just right, that length and that span, just having that out there. And I've been saying it last year, Taco should be used in situational moments. You can definitely use him in certain parts of the game to get him in there. I think that Stevens is more trying to, and it could be to Taco, like, I don't want to make you like a circus show. Like, and it, right, you know, because all the fans coming, oh, it's Taco time. Because
he's been the victory cigar, the human victory, yeah, cigar, like Tyler said a million times.
And this is a good season to get him more minutes. Yeah. Get him 10 minutes a game. Get him 11 minutes, 12 minutes a game. He's not a bona fide starter every single night. But if he can consistently get 10 to 15 minutes a game and someone that can, right, come off the bench, like,
he'd be like a Boban type, like Boban Marjanovic, yeah, down there in Dallas.
Absolutely, because we've been yelling and screaming, I want big guys. I want guys, right, that can rebound. And
that's what's great about this year. We got rebounding now in Tristan Thompson, adding him into the starting lineup, which is still odd to me, starting two centers. But we got the rebounds now. And Tristan Thompson has been playing some bully ball down there, getting I think he's averaging 2 or 3 offensive boards a game, which is huge for the Celtics.
I wish they did play tonight's game against the Miami Heat, because
they got mopped.
But it would have been, it's one of those things that we've talked about where it's like, this would be a good opportunity, right, for anybody just to get minutes. Like Pritchard would be like, I want to, yeah, score 40.
He'd be starting.
Like,
and you would get to see what kind of depth the Celtics have in case that situation came back.
As in a Bill Belichick type of role, I'm sure Stevens would have loved it too. You would have loved to just see like, all right, guys, like go out there and it would have felt like a pickup game. It's not like, yeah, they're going to go completely hard against each other. That's what the NBA should have looked at. It's like, all right, like the players are going to go out there and they're just going to play. Like they're just, yeah, see what happens. Like they should, they not to force it, but they should have just let them play. I mean, I don't know. It is what it is. I do want to move on. I want to talk about some of the standings, right? Because I came out and I said, I believe we went out and said, these are the top 4 teams in each conference. We're going through like 1 through 8. I was like, to name the top 4. And I said, the Philadelphia 76ers will be the number 1 seed in the Eastern Conference. And you laughed at me, both of you. And they're the number 1 seed right now. They are 7-3.
Right now. Right now.
But the 76ers are looking pretty good. They're looking okay. All right. I know
they are looking very good, but their schedule is very soft. Their schedule is very soft at the start of the season.
Okay, but it comes down to coaching and Doc Rivers, and I think that was a good fit for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that's why I just want to say, I told you so. The Sixers are going to be there.
No, told me so. We're 2 weeks into the season.
Buddy,
these standings are going to flip. Hold on. If you think that's the final standing, you think they're going to stay there? Read the 7, 8, 9 seeds.
That's 1/7 of the season.
You got the New York Knicks up there right now.
1/7 of the season. Now the Golden State Warriors, they're 5-4. They're trying to come back right now. I think
are they the one seed though?
They're not the one seed yet. They're still playing. Okay, the number one team, which is the Phoenix Suns, which I was the only one out of the Phoenix Suns in the top 4 because I said the Phoenix Suns would be good. I liked the Phoenix Suns last year, and I know that they're going to be good this year.
They were the top team there for a few days, and they think the Lakers topped them after one night. But the Phoenix Suns were the number one seed for a few days.
7-3 Lakers, right? But the Golden State Warriors only have 4 losses, so it's close. It's close. Right. They're gonna come right there. I do want to ask you: have the Raptors fell off? Because they're 2-6.
They'll be all right. They'll be all right. They have great depth. They're a championship.
You had
team.
Them first in the Eastern Conference.
I did. I'm not confident in that anymore, but there's no chance the Raptors don't make the playoffs. Like you can't take these standings seriously yet. Like I'll speak for Tyler here, cause I know this is exactly what he would tell you. If you look at the rest of these standings, like the 1 and 2, totally, they could stay the same if you wanted them to, Philly and Boston, but you got to move down. Orlando's not going to be the 4th seed, or the New York Knicks, they're not going to be in the playoffs, and they're the 6th seed right now. So you can't take it exactly for what it says on there. You got to watch these games. You got to figure out what are these teams got? What, are they going to be one of these teams that's contending? Are they going to be one of these bottom of the barrel teams? Cleveland's the 8th seed. Cleveland's not going to the playoffs. One of these teams is going to sneak into the playoffs, and I think it's going to be the Hornets because they're playing very well with our former Boston boys and Gordon Hayward and Terry Rozier down there. But they're playing lights out right now, and I think they're going to be one of those teams that's going to keep rising, or not keep rising, but at least stay exactly where they're at while these other teams start falling off like the Knicks and the Magic.
I'm seeing LaMelo Ball's name coming out quite a bit too.
LaMelo Ball came off the bench yesterday night, ended up being the youngest guy in NBA history to record a triple double, which passing his brother. His brother was the one to set that record. So they got something to talk about at the Thanksgiving dinner table now.
Thanksgiving, dude, was that's like months away.
When's the next time the Ball family's gonna be together? You gotta look into the future. It's when the family's gonna be together. You know what I mean?
Valentine's Day.
The standings. It's you can't take it for what it's worth. I think the Suns are actually on top of the world right now. They're the one seed right now.
All I know is Philadelphia's one. I had them one. I had the Suns at three. And okay. They're number one. So, and you guys didn't have the Suns. You just weren't looking their way. You're the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
You had them up there. I mean, I had Golden State, but Golden State's going to come. Curry's going to go on a run. So
the Mavericks are great. I don't know if you've been paying attention. The Mavericks are great. The thing about the Western Conference is it's so much harder. Like, there's only like two teams that you can really count out at any point. Like, there's 13 playoff teams. There's really 13 playoff teams when you look at up top to bottom in the Western Conference. The only two that really aren't, I'd say the Minnesota Timberwolves and a team like the Sacramento Kings are not playoff teams. But you look at everyone else, they have a legitimate like argument to be in the playoffs, and they all make sense. So that conference is going to go up. It's going to be mad up and down. A lot of shuffling in those standings, but I think the Eastern Conference, you've got some guys separating themselves already, like Philly and the Celtics.
Do we have any updates on Kyrie Irving? Have they found him?
I don't know. He's AWOL. He might have been in DC for all we know.
I haven't actually looked at it. Like, but they said it was like 2 or 3 days where he has not contacted anybody.
They're like,
and no one knows where he is.
That's the thing about this guy, man. I've been so low on him from the day he was traded to the Celtics. This, you know exactly what you're getting at this point. You're going to get some good buckets. You might get 25 to 30 a game, if not a 40-point game once a month. But this guy, there's so many question marks. There's not even question marks. It's just a lot of confusion at this point where you don't know exactly how often you're going to have him available. You're going to have this guy going AWOL like he is now. He's been gone for the last three games, not due to injury, not due to COVID, just because, and I quote, he didn't want to play. He didn't want to play. And I think the Nets knew exactly what they were getting into here. He is that hometown guy up there, but you know what you're getting if you were trying to sign Kyrie. You're getting a dramatic dude. Like, there's a lot of question marks. No one understands Kyrie maybe than the close circle within his friends and family. Everyone else, if you think you know Kyrie, you don't, because no one understands him.
I feel bad for Steve Nash. He shouldn't be dealing with all this shit.
Steve Nash is better than that. We respect Steve Nash.
Yeah. Has Kevin Durant been playing? Because they said that because
he was quarantined as well, but
he's been out, Kyrie wants to be. He doesn't want to play. Like, he's like, I'm playing unless Katie's playing. So that's someone's theory. Like, I saw that.
That's
so
fair. Hey, you never know.
I'm sitting out. I'm quarantined. I'm talking to anybody until you're back.
There's probably a dozen theories, and honestly, all of them could be true.
I mean, if he wants to put the theory out that the Earth is flat, then we can put out these theories, and we can be just as right. So,
do you think the NBA is going to be all right following this COVID stretch? Because I know Philly, Boston, they're both getting hit with it pretty hard.
I don't think they're going to survive.
How long do you think the NBA's got right now?
So here's the thing, Brendan, because we're going to change topics in a second.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see what the next president of the United States, Joe Biden, does when he gets into office in about a week and a half. Okay, because Joe Biden wants to take COVID very, very seriously.
Right.
And Joe Biden, if you're going to take COVID very seriously, are you going to want these? Aren't you going to want to limit these people traveling around, even if they're athletes and entertainment and all that? I'm sure that he wants everyone to be staying at home and wearing masks and all this and that. So I think our country is about to go into a very mask mandated law, which is going to completely ruin the South. Like, they're going to go through their uprising. The South will rise again, as they say.
Oh gosh.
Good luck down there. But it comes down to the NBA. And I just feel like if it's already heating up now, like, how are we going to make it? How are we going to make it through? It's like,
right.
It's kind of crazy how it went from back in March where it was like, you know, one guy gets it and then everyone freaked out and they shut everything down. Now it's kind of like, ah, he got it. All right, just quarantine. We'll see you later in 2 weeks. Right. You're ruining the game in a way. You're ruining franchises because, again, if the fact that Tatum's out for 2 weeks, that could be a couple losses in a row for the Celtics and you're ruining playoff chances and you're ruining certain things. This is why I said the Celtics should tank this year because this is the perfect opportunity.
Don't tell me you still believe that.
This is why the Celtics should tank. Let Tatum sit out. Let Brown, let all these guys sit out. Just put in the young guys in there because the season doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter anymore. They're on a four-game
win streak against teams like the Raptors and the Heat.
The 2-6 Raptors.
The Heat?
The Heat are like 5-4. 4-5.
The playoffs.
I don't know. I don't. If they can't play tonight's game, which is very concerning, and they postpone it, I'm sure they're going to get through it. But it makes me wonder, like, why didn't they do bubbles? Like, why didn't they do two bubbles in each conference and have a Northeast bubble and a Southeast bubble and a West bubble and a West bubble and just tell them we're doing 30 games in a bubble? And then you're going to take the champion of this bubble versus that bubble. And you're going to play each other in a fucking 12-game series or something like that. Like they should have did something like that. They could have got ahead of this. I just thought the traveling back and forth where you're going into a Northeast region or a Northern region where everything's shut down, or California where everything's shut down. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to be honest. If I played for like the Lakers and everything shut down in Cali and I got a chance to go play down in fucking Florida, I'm going out that night and I'm not wearing my mask and I don't give a fuck because I don't get to do that back home. So you're a human being. You're going to act like that. So, and that's not disrespecting any players. It's just your human being instinct. If I'm going down to Miami, I'm going to Club 11 because I know I want to like party afterwards. I have that money to go do it. And I'm an NBA player. I'm probably going to get the champagne room. Like that's why I felt like this season wasn't going to work because of all this traveling all around. I thought we wanted to limit traveling. Yeah. That's my thing. That's the concern right now. And I think with Joe Biden coming into office, and again, not political, but just he wants to just, hey, everyone just stay where you are.
Like, yeah.
So now you're going to have to go to the sports leagues and say, it's not a good look if you're having everyone travel around and like our citizens can't do that. So that's why I'm kind of interested to see where it goes at the end of the month.
Well, that's my thing about it is if you had any other commissioner, like if you had a Goodell running the NBA, season's over already. Season's shut down. But the thing is, you have one of the best commissioners in sports. The NBA commissioners have always been historically great in David Stern and now Adam Silver. And I think Adam Silver put in place a plan that is working right now. Like no one was saying that the NBA was going to get through the entire season and have zero negative tests. That just wasn't going to happen again since they were outside of a bubble. But I think Adam Silver's prepared this league and prepared a way so that the games can continue. And I think he's been doing a great job at it. I think we've seen a few positive tests here in the last few weeks, and this is the first game to get actually postponed. So I think there is something they are doing right. And I think the Celtics will play again this week simply because the only reason they aren't playing without the limited roster is because a player on the Heat came back with an inconclusive test. So there's just too many that were stacking up. So they just decided to pull the plug, but they'll be back playing here again next week.
I don't know. I mean, you got to give the NBA credit because the bubble worked. So you know that as your last resort, let's try to play as many games as possible. We'll see what happens. And then if worst comes to worst, hey guys, we're doing a bubble again. And I will say, if you go back-to-back years with a bubble, that kind of ruins the legitimacy of these championships.
Yeah.
Like even last year with the Lakers, I'll still give it to LeBron. He still give it to them. You know, they because it was a competitive bubble. Like it was just kind of an even playing field and everyone had the same amount of time off. So, I mean, you could do the same thing, give everyone a month off. So everyone quarantines, you go right back into a bubble, but it just starts really losing like what it means. But I mean, it is what it is. This is just part of the scheme. It's part of the process. In a couple of years, we'll be back to normal. But I don't know. And I really think, Brendan, like, so the vaccinations are out and like, I'm actually getting vaccinated tomorrow.
Nice.
I've been kind of holding off on it. I tried scheduling a couple weeks ago. Then I was like, and then I was like, ah, maybe I won't get it. And I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to get it because everyone's going to have to get it. I'm going to be a team player about this. I'm not a conspiracy nut when it comes to the vaccination.
No one's turned into an alligator yet. So
no, we're doing all right. But the problem is that it's going to take a long time before it's really out there for everyone to have it available.
Right.
But there are going to be a lot of people that do not want to take it. And then it's going to run into the society problem that only half people are vaccinated and the other half are vaccinated. So, and it does sound fucking crazy because I do believe in the conspiracies of like, I hate wearing masks and like, you're going to have this COVID card that you're going to have to show. And then people are probably going to fake the COVID card. So it's just, it's going to be really, really hard as a society to somehow crawl out of this hole.
People were complaining a few months ago about how like, oh, there's too much facial recognition. Like they scan my face everywhere I go. Like they know who I am. Like, and then you get to cover up and they don't know who you are everywhere and you can't have both. So people will always have something to be upset about. That's the thing. So you run into problems everywhere or everywhere you go. I don't know when I'll be able to get vaccinated. I'll probably get it here eventually when it becomes available to the general public, but you're on the front lines. Shout out to Babs. Everyone give their applause. He's on the front lines working at hospitals, saving lives.
Nah, I ain't saving any lives, dude. It was available for us to get it. So actually what happened was, I will say this, like fuck the politicians, some of them, because they got it before any employees got it and they shouldn't. Wow. Why is Elizabeth Warren getting it before a fucking emergency department nurse? Like, that's what bothered me the most. I seen that. And then, but now they have it readily available for all employees to get it pretty much. So it's good that it's there. And it's one of those things that I'm not, in terms of the vaccine, like, I believe in science. Like, you know, it's not like they're giving us harmful chemicals to track us. Like you're fucking stupid to think that.
you're watching too many movies.
And there will be side effects, just like there's a side effect to fucking drinking beer or smoking weed and stuff like that. In the shit and the harmful McDonald's products that you put in your body.
Yeah, people eat McDonald's and won't get this vaccine.
I know. It's funny, the memes that people like, you'll eat this shit, you'll do all this dirty stuff. Like,
if you eat this and you won't get the vaccine,
your phone has so much bacteria on it. You touch your phone and you lick your hands and stuff after. It's just, but cringe. You don't think about it. You touch your face after it. You don't think about it, but it's just, that's the life we live in, man. Yeah. So I don't know.
Speaking of current events, we'll finish up here on a more somber note. You'd be crazy if we weren't going to talk about what exactly happened in Washington, D.C. this week, back on Wednesday, I believe it was. I was up actually. I was skiing, and I pulled my phone out to like respond to some texts, and I got a notification from a news network. It's like, this dude stormed the Capitol building. Like, that doesn't sound legal at all. Like, but it was something that's put pause on kind of the world. Like, you looked at it and be like, what is going on? And I think there was a whole lot of confusion surrounding what exactly was going down Wednesday. That is exactly what was going on in my head before I got home, and really had a chance to sit down and like see what was going on, turn on the news, see some pictures and videos that were coming out of Washington, D.C. And it is horrifying. Like, it is horrifying. Like, I don't think we think about how often, like, the people we vote for, they work most of the time. Like, they're out there like debating for the states, for the things that they believe are right, similar to a lot of people, a lot of activists out here.
It's similar to this. These individuals that are in Congress, right?
Right.
It's just like me and you. Right. You have one opinion and I have one opinion and we debate it.
Exactly.
We try to debate it to sway the opinion, to say who you side you're picking here.
And we talk it out with words.
When the cameras are off or we're out of that Congress hall, you're buddy. That's right. They're all kind of friendly with each other.
Exactly.
Like, just because you have one view that way.
They're coworkers for the United States of America. Mm-hmm. But I want to call what it is. These people, the Trump supporters that came from a Trump rally, I believe it was, where the president spoke to them and just kind of riled them up, like, save the vote of this conspiracy that the president's been on the last few, about almost like 2 months now going. Since November, since Election Day, that's he somehow won the election. But this group of riled up Trump supporters, of these folks that decided that enough was enough, and they marched down to the Capitol building like the president told them to, but then they took it into their own hands and decided to just keep marching and marched right through the police barricades, lines, everything, started going right up to the Capitol building, climbing walls. Some of the pictures are just kind of shocking, and from how they got inside and just the crazy events that went down, and really put pause on the sports world too, because this was directly before the Heat Celtics game, and the players held a players only meeting in the Heat locker room for, like, this is players from both sides, both the Celtics and the Heat are all in the same locker room right now. No referees, no media, nothing, just deciding, sitting down, talking exactly like we were just talking about. These guys, like, at the end of the day, they're coworkers. They play in the same league. They're buddy outside of it. Though it was Heat and Celtics, so it might have been a little different, but these guys came together is what's important here and decided whether or not they wanted to play this NBA game despite what was going on in DC, because the argument here is it wasn't about race to start, but then you got to think, if the Black Lives Matter movement, if some Arab people, if some Muslim folks, if anyone, any other nationality, really, you got to think about if these people were in their place, what would have been different? And the fact that it would have been dramatically different, there's no way to decide if it was, but I think just based on what we've seen here in the United States for the last 6 months, really, not 6 months, but the last 100 years, it would be dramatically different. And the fact that they're treated so well, like you see the videos of what happens at the protest from the summer versus what happened on the steps of the Capitol, folks being walked down, like handheld, supporters, these terrorists taking selfies with police officers inside the Capitol building that are just trying to do their job, and you're taking pictures with them and walking right through the areas, the sacred grounds that they're supposed to be protecting. Like, this is, those are hallowed grounds. Like, you wouldn't want like some Yankees fan walking and marching on down onto the field on Fenway, the same way that these people are just walking their way into like restricted areas of the Capitol building in the what's supposed to be one of the most protected places on earth. And there are a few fun jokes came out of it. Like, you think of those movies like Olympus Has Fallen or White House Down, like, oh, I guess it wasn't as hard as these movies made it seem, or anyone could go steal the Declaration of Independence if they wanted to, you know what I mean? So the fact of how it would have been different, I think there is one quote, Devontae Harris of the Baltimore Ravens. He tweeted it best. His tweet's got like a million likes at this point. He said, "We're not asking you to shoot these people the same way you shoot folks at like the Black Lives Matter protests, or cops are shooting African-Americans at the moment." He said that we're asking you not to shoot us, not to shoot them, not to shoot Black people the same way you're not shooting the protesters. You're not shooting the people that stormed the Capitol building. I want to finish with this is that it was just everyone I've seen saying it's a protest that got out of hand. It's a riot. These guys were terrorists. Like, you cannot walk into the Capitol building and have four to five people end up dead. I don't know what the official number is right now from their injuries, but having these people be killed needlessly for a conspiracy theory that has no ground, it's just frustrating. And then, like, as an American, it's embarrassing to see exactly this going down and seeing the turmoil that doesn't need to be there surrounding a presidency that's in its last week.
I mean, terrible. I'm going to say there's two words that come out of what you just saw: white privilege. Yeah. It was literally white privilege is what if you hear this term white privilege. And I know that there are going to be people that might listen to us that are Trump supporters, or there are people that are on the other side.
We're not attacking you. Yeah, we're just having a conversation.
We're just having a conversation here, right? I call spade a spade, all right? I play both sides. I understand the sides, right? And it's coming from a white individual myself. They always say this word, white privilege, white privilege, white privilege. And you hear this word, and maybe me as a white individual in America, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. And when you watch that without having a narrow mind, you just see what was going on. It was white privilege. The fact that that guy walked out with a podium, smiling, waving at a camera, that guy would have been shot dead if he was Black, brown, Asian, Muslim, whatever it might be, because they could say, well, he was taking federal property. Like, that's
grand larceny, trespassing, all of it.
They would have gotten you there. And even watching the Capitol Police, which were at the same time, they didn't have enough people. They knew what was going on. And I'm sure there's stuff in the background that Trump's like, don't send anybody out. Don't send anybody out. They were kind of letting them go. They just kept letting them go and letting them go. Now, you could say the cops weren't as protected as they should be. But then again, you see the other pictures in June, and they're fully protected on the steps, and everyone's in riot gear, ready to go, ready to bash with you. So I see this on both sides, because you see this one side, you know, we'll say the white side, and they're like, well, look, in June, they were burning the city down, and they were looting and rioting. Well, that's because they're being forcefully attacked, where in this sense, they're just letting them walk right in and take a couple pictures and take a couple items, this and that. But that's white privilege. Like, that's what this other side is fighting for. It's like, we don't want to be you. Why are you treating it like that? And you're treating us like shit. Like, it shouldn't be happening this way. So, I play those two sides of it, because I watched Trump's speech, and it's just, listen, I knew he's out of here. Like, it was gone. It's over with. And there are people that I know that are saying, wait till January 6th. January 6th, he's going to prove everybody wrong. And I said, he's just going to go there and pander, and he's going to get a crowd, because a crowd will be there. And I know that Joe Biden's inauguration is going to be held virtually. And then he's going to say, my rally did better than the inauguration, because that's how he always wants it. He always wants to trump people. He always wants to be better than them. I will say, I give him a little credit, because it does go both ways, because Trump said, I want the cameras to turn around and show how many people are here. Now, if you saw it on TV, there was only a couple hundred people, like, next to a stage. The cameras never turned. Mainstream media never showed it. You find stuff on Twitter, and you find all that stuff. There was 100,000 people there. Yeah. There was a lot of people there. And then they try to spin it to say, well, not everybody, you know, marched up on the Capitol. Okay, that's the same thing with the Black Lives Matter rallies and stuff like that. Yes, are there situations that go head to head? Absolutely. But there are people, just the same amount of people, that hold back and they do their and they protest peacefully or whatever it may be. All right. It's funny to see it's not funny. The word funny is not the wrong word. It's bad to see when during in Minnesota, you had a news reporter get arrested on live television for doing his job. And the cops didn't care, but over here, nope, you guys can come right in.
Walk in, like, direct you, like, which office is which? Point me in the right direction.
The woman that got shot and got killed deserved it. I'm sorry, she deserved it. And you're gonna hear that and be like, that's no one deserves to die. No, listen here, because you went into that Capitol building that you were not supposed to be in. And they gave, and it was at a point where we've seen the pictures, and it's inside the little dome area, whatever, and they had their guns drawn. They say, you cannot cross this line. Like, they gave you every single chance to say, you cannot come in there. And what did she do? They broke the window down, and she crossed the line and got shot. I don't feel sorry for you, because he's drawing a gun right at you. What do you expect is going to happen? Now, they teach you to shoot to kill, and I think it should be shoot to not maim, but shoot to, like, if you're gonna have to shoot your gun and withdraw your gun, you should be shooting someone to disable them and just put them down. I'm not saying that you should be shooting to kill people, right? But I can't feel sorry for you and your family and everything. She's from Massachusetts, I'm pretty sure. I don't feel sorry for you if the gun is drawn at a window and said, stop right here and don't cross this line,
right?
And you cross the line, you got shot. So I don't feel bad. And I believe they actually killed the guy that shot her. He ended up getting attacked. That didn't get out there. That wasn't in mainstream. I saw that on Twitter or something. And who knows what you believe anyway out there. But they said that I believe he got mauled and attacked afterwards too. So I just think that it's not over yet, because when January 19th comes on Inauguration Day,
there's going to be a few thousand people that still
believe that
Trump is president. But in the aftermath of all this situation, like we talked about, the sports world deciding whether or not they wanted to continue, and ultimately deciding that they were going to continue playing. But Trump's Twitter got turned off. So he got shut down. Like, if no one else was going to cancel Donald Trump, all these private companies decided they've seen enough, and that he could cause some more reckless endangerment to his followers.
Yeah, I'm on two sides on that one. So that's something that it's like, it's a private company, so they can do whatever right. they want, so they can get away with that. There's no constitution that's going to be like, well, you can have it. You're allowed to have a Twitter. No, it's a private company. Right. Facebook's a private company. iPhones, Apples and Samsungs, Androids, they're all private companies. Everything's private. You know what's not private? You can go out there and Trump can go right into Washington, D.C. and stand in the street just like everybody else and shout on the roof and believe in what you want to believe in. That's fine. That's the freedom of speech. Like, that's right. your freedom to go out there and do what you want to do and say what you want to say into certain degrees. But
the problem you run into, like when you talk about like First Amendment, like the freedom of speech, the problem is like that you have that ability up to a certain point. If like you can't,
yeah.
like, I think the common scenario or hyperbole that people throw out is like, you can't go into a movie theater and scream fire because that puts people in yeah. danger. And I think that's exactly why it got turned off in the first place. Like, he's putting people in danger, like four or five people died that did not need to.
But and I'm going to spin this the other way again, yeah. play both sides and say, it is concerning because Donald Trump, although he can put all that out there, to me is like, oh, wow. Like, they can really censor whatever they want. Like right. the media itself. I'll just say these companies can really censor and make sure they push certain things away, completely away from everybody else. So that's what I looked at for the Donald Trump thing, because going forward, if there's something that they don't like and they disagree with you, and that's the same thing with me. Like, people go to the Spike King, they're like, I fucking hate you, you stupid clown, you fat piece of shit. What do? I block them. Right. I can block them and they cannot see my stuff.
Exactly.
So I'm shutting you down. And it makes me think, like, it's eye opening. Cause like Donald Trump had 88 million followers or whatever. And Instagram has like 20 something million. And it's like, you're shutting all that down. Like right. that's completely shut down.
Yeah. Well, the thing you run into is, you look back at like the precedent, because like precedent's one of the big things, one of the big words you use when talking about like the presidency. You look at guys in the past, you look at every other president before Trump, because Trump's a very different candidate, very different president than the United States has ever had. These presidents beforehand, look at back Barack Obama, George Bush, these guys, they have press releases, they have speeches. Donald Trump really doesn't do that often. He just takes the Twitter and types out anything he wants the American people to know.
And it worked, because I studied that. I minored in political science in college. So I like politics to a certain degree, because I like how it works sometimes.
So big brain.
And Obama used Facebook to his advantage, because okay. Facebook was new. So that's how he really got a leg up in everything. Where Trump was on Twitter back in 2011, 2012, and Twitter was kind of starting to gain popularity in his tweets. That's how he gained so much popularity yeah. to have all these people start voting for him. And he's also a celebrity and everyone knew who he was. And he kind of sold you on some false promises and hope of right. this is what I'm going to do. And listen, if you look, and I'm sure Watabi, if we sat down, and if, we're not doing this, but if I'm sure if we sat down and we looked at everything Trump did in his presidency, I'm sure there are some things that he did that were at least helped right. the country in a certain degree, in a certain way. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure that he did something. At least he did part of the job the right way. But he did a lot of negative stuff, especially in the press and PR and all that stuff that ruined everything.
And it overshadows, like spin it back to sports. Like think of Tom Brady in his last season. He did some great yeah. things his last season. He had a couple 300, like three touchdown games, something like that. But it gets overshadowed by the fact you get to the end and you throw a pick six. And I think that's exactly what Trump did here.
Trump has the boomers, like my parents, the boomers, right? 60s. Like that's what they vote for. That's what they see. That's what they go. And it's funny, you know, no offense, but it's just, that's what it is. Like that's their age group. That's like my grandmother who passed away two years ago, who is 94 years old. We'll call them Orientals and say like the Orientals across the street are going to come over and take my house, because guess what? That's just what she was born in right. the 1920s. Like she was 18 years old in 1945. Like that's just the timing of what it is. And my generation, like I see, I'm like, Jesus, like yeah. you don't say that. And you learn over time. So same thing with, you know, the boomers or our parents, like in that same age, they were just coming off that generation. So we're still trying to somewhat evolve over time, but it's going to take forever. We'll be long dead before right. we can really evolve. I will say this. I just hope they, and people will be like, I can't believe you're saying this. I do hope they impeach Trump. So they won't impeach him to say like, we're taking him away. I mean, they only have like a week left. So it's like, right. just get through the week, but they can impeach him afterwards when Biden's president to stop him from running in 2024. Like, that's right. The important part, that Congress is all going to come together.
Well, I think the Republican Party, I don't even think they would have him anymore. Like, that was like such a turning point last Wednesday, where so many people, like so many of the guys that were like in Trump's pocket or guys that supported him, they turned. Like, that's the last straw, man.
The Republican Party's fucked. Like, because if you look at, and I said that the two-party system should go away. So now the Republicans have to scramble, because now no one can trust them. And anytime you hear the word Republican, you're going to think Donald Trump, even though Donald was not even a true Republican.
Right.
And it could be interesting, because listen, and I said this, 75 million people voted for Donald Trump. And even if you take some of those voters away going into 2024, say you take half of them, there's still 40 something million that are going to vote for him. They're going to support him, and they're going to die on the sword with Donald Trump. Like, and there might be people that vote for Biden over the next 4 years. Who fucking knows what happens? They might be like, oh, Donald was right. Donald was right. So you could have a third party, a legitimate third party, Donald Trump's fucking weird ass party, come in here. But the Republican Party needs to reshape themselves, or hey, maybe the Republicans merge with Democrats and we just have one natural party. I really
one wish party American, versus whatever Trump creates.
We shouldn't once he's have gone. That's what it used to be way when it first started. Was the Democratic Republican Party. It was the same. There was those two parties together, and that's what it should be. It should just be a slew of 10 candidates, and everyone's on an equal playing field. Like, that's how the government should be working. It shouldn't be this complete extreme left side. And it's just so crazy. And I don't, that's the part of politics I hate, and I don't get, and I don't understand any of that stuff. But he's still going to put his name out there. He's still going to do something. He might start his own fucking news network and just put himself out there. It's just these Sean Hannity. He
might start his own country for all we know.
Tucker Carlson's, like, they're going to be right there. He can bring them in. He could pay them to fucking spew whatever they want out there. But I was hearing was January 6th. When we saw that, it was like, that's what you supported on January 6th, because that was pretty fucking bad.
And that's going to be in the history books now.
Still think that it's going to get overturned. Right. It's over. Right. It's over with.
They literally stayed late. System. Like the politicians, the Congress that was at risk, like you see the horrifying pictures of like them in gas masks and like huddled down below their seats. They stayed in session so they could complete the vote to make sure it was official that night.
The Confederate flag was inside the U.S. Capitol. Why is the Confederate flag
people,
in there?
And people still think it's okay.
And I hear this. So Tutcher and Rich talked about this like months ago, right? I was driving home from work, and I believe it was Rich was saying, because he's from Georgia. Yeah. So Dixie, and he's just like, the Confederate flag to him does not mean what it means. Like, he just like, that's just what I've grown up on. In the Confederate flag, you watch like the Dukes of Hazzard and Dixie and all this. So there are some people that believe that, but there are people that say the South will rise again, and you believe in that shit, and it's in the U.S. Capitol. Like, that's a bad look. So
that's a bad
and that's
thing.
That's what I'm saying to you. And I said this earlier in the podcast, is that the South will rise again, right? And Joe Biden's going to come in here and he's going to say, hey, our country needs to fucking fix this COVID situation. One part of the country is doing their job. The other part's not doing it. That part down there that's not doing their job is going to somehow be forced into doing their job. They're not going to like it. And it felt like on January 6th, a civil war was about to happen. Because it feels like it's going to happen. And it's up to Biden and Congress that they have to be very careful what they do going forward. Because you don't want to entice him. And now you're shutting Trump off. You're cutting all ties with him.
Cutting
the
tap.
Sure that this guy does not get to fucking say a word out there. And
it's a lame duck president, and he is the lamest duck of all time.
It's crazy. But I actually wonder, too, presidents get libraries named after them or highways or buildings and all this. I literally wonder how that's going to work. They might just completely shut that down, shun it out.
Yeah. I know Obama's got I don't think there's a lot he's got. I know he's got his own presidential library, which is pretty common for the modern presidents in our lifetime, at least. And then I think he got an aircraft carrier named after him. It's pretty cool.
As long as Joe Biden approves a stimulus, like another $2,000 or something like that, I'd be cool, bro.
I'm cool with it. Just give me some money. I ain't saying no to it. Our kids will pay for it anyways.
It's unfortunate for me to say this, because we're two different people, right?
Right.
And for me, being a 29-year-old white male in this society that lives in Massachusetts that just loves sports, likes talking about sports. All this bullshit's way above my head. It's like Donald, and sadly, it does not affect my, it shouldn't say sadly, but nothing affects my life because of white privilege. And that's true. And I have that white privilege where I can just go to work, not be bothered really. I go collect a paycheck. I go home. Like, you know, I watch the game. So like for someone like me, Brendan, it's just, I literally could care less who's in office between Trump and Biden, which is a bad way to look at it because you have people that are like, why would you not care? This is what's going on. At least the last year with COVID and everything has probably opened up a lot of eyeballs.
Totally.
In a good way to say, you need to fucking see what's in front of you. Like this was the pandemic helped open up a lot of eyes and in society too, to be like, if you didn't care about it and you look on both sides like this, you're like, I can't believe this is happening on that way. Like, you know, the capitalist situation. It's like, I can't believe people think this way. Like they're really that, like, it's just, it opened up a lot of eyes, you know? And it's a great learning. This has been, for me, it's been great learning. Like, it's just, especially how open we can be. You have to be open-minded. You can't be narrow-minded. Some people are stuck in their ways. That's why I like to play both sides, because it's not me trying to pander or anything like that. I want to be open.
It allows dialogue. It allows a conversation.
Yeah. You know, that's it. Because there might be something that I hear or think one way, and I want to come to you and ask you, or ask like Jay, or like when we had TJ Hujmanzadeh, that was an awesome interview, because when I got to talk to him openly about it, I want to hear your story. Talk to me. I'm not going to know what you experience. Right. I don't live through your eyes. Like look at the color right here. Like it doesn't happen like that. So I don't know, man. I I like where I work, and I like the way, and it's the way, and this goes for me and Corey GRD, because we grew up, and sometimes it's your community, and it really does come down to community and your parents. And we grew up going to Catholic. I'm not a religious guy, but we grew up going Catholic school, and Catholic school and private school, I think, is more of a way to teach you just to like be a good person.
Yeah,
that's all it is. Like, am I an asshole to people? 100%. Like it happens. It's human nature, but you try to have the best intentions possible. Right. Both of us do that. So I think we always talk about, me and him will talk about the situations that are happening in our world around us, as two white guys, because we just say like, it's crazy. We see how crazy it is. And we're kind of glad we don't want to be in the middle of anything. We're just like, I can't believe people think this way or they act this way. And talk about the white side of it, but it's just crazy. Cause we grew up in Lawrence. We grew up with a Hispanic population around us, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans. I'm not using the line like, oh, I have friends like that are Puerto Rican, Dominican. It did nothing like that. It's just, human beings being human beings to each other. Like that's all it is. Like you do it here. Like where I work, like it's just, there's a huge melting pot of different people. I hate as many white people as I hate as many black people. Like it just, don't take that out of context either, because sometimes you guys will do that with your stupid quotes. But it's just be human beings to each other. That's all it is. We're only here for a short time. Like just be nice, like be respectful.
Right.
I don't know.
Be good to each other. Be good. Have fun. Love life, right?
Live motto. Like angel's words.
Yeah,
dude.
Exactly.
Like
that's
all it is. Like live like angel, man. Like he just be a happy person and shit like that. Like,
exactly. You gotta be able to look at the bright side of things in order to make it through like this game called life, because there's so much negative that'll get thrown your way. Just like the Boston Celtics and the COVID list. It's gonna be a lot of negative that gets thrown their way, but hopefully it turns into something that turns into a positive down the line. You discover guys like someone at the end of the bench, like Javonte Green, can actually play basketball. You never know. But this has been a great episode of Boston's Big Three. We can definitely wrap up here with our final thoughts. If you have anything on the top of your head, Babs.
The final thought I had written down was, it's going back to the quarterbacks, and we kind of already talked about it, but Vegas. So I got this from sportsbettingdimes.com. So Vegas had their first official like odds for quarterbacks week one, and they have Stidham at -220. So
that's because he's on the roster already.
He's on the roster. So this was only a select amount of people they had, but Sam Darnold was +600. They had Jimmy Garoppolo at plus 650, Wentz at plus 700, Newton at plus 800, Matt Stafford at plus 1100, Prescott at plus 3300, and same thing with Fitzpatrick. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And that's always going to move around.
Yeah.
I liked that last year because at this time last year, there was these little QB, same thing that you said earlier about how the QBs moved around. And I remember posting DraftKings will eventually come up with their own QB line. They will do that for the Patriots. They did that for Brady last year and that it moved around a lot. I think you could have got Tampa Bay at one point at plus 2000 before he went like weeks before he went there. So that's what's interesting. So the Prescott plus 3,300 is where I got this earlier and saying, if I look at this short list right here and I say, where are people going to go? So quickly, Stidham's on the roster, Sam Darnold, I don't think the Jets would trade him here. Jimmy Garoppolo, why would he want to play in New England again? Why doesn't he just try to go to the West Coast? Or does he go down to Dallas? Carson Wentz, I think he goes to Indianapolis. That's where that's where he's being linked right now to. Cam Newton probably goes to Washington. Matt Stafford, he might get picked up by a different team. I don't think he comes to New England. So you got Dak Prescott now. And I think Fitzpatrick stays in Miami or just whatever. You got Prescott now. I think Prescott could be the interesting I want to see where he goes. I don't think he goes to Dallas. And if you told me to throw $100 down on somebody, I want to make the money. I want to make money.
Well, Dak. Interesting. Dak. I like to hear that.
I'm not advocating and not picking he's a Dak guy now. Just this is the theory and what it is.
And he wears number 4.
I know. He's gonna have to change his number.
That's what I wish for these prop bets like the quarterback. I wish I could bet money that they don't end up in New England, because that's where the parlay money would lie. That's where you would finally hit a parlay if you could vote or not vote, but bet that half of these guys aren't going to end up in New England. That's where the real money would be.
Speaking about final thoughts, I think I've lost a couple grand like this year on parlays. And I don't go heavy. I was going heavy at the start of the season. I really lightened up. And then it's been like, I'm grasping for straws for like a $20 parlay secretly. And it just and I lose right away. I gotta start betting NBA. Like I think I could probably hit a couple NBA parlays. Totally. I say that now.
Probably. It's fun. But that's I'm playing fantasy basketball now. I've never played it. I'm kind of enjoying it more than fantasy football because I'm winning more. But
yeah, that's what it is. It's just
my final thought. I'm starting my grad program here at the University of Connecticut Stores online in the next few days. And I think in 10 or 7 days from now. So I therefore have the best basketball school on the show. If you include, I think you're an Amherst guy yourself, right? Versus Tyler's Penn State and Joe's Assumption. I think
I'm a UMass Lowell guy. Lowell.
Sorry. My apologies. Yeah. Not Amherst, obviously. But I have the best basketball school on the show now. Bow down. UConn Huskies are back, baby. But final thought.
Congratulations, Jake Seymour, on getting accepted to Arizona State University. He's going to ASU. He's going.
Forks up. Forks up. Breaking news. We're losing one of our good ones.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us for episode 88 of Boston's Big Three. We hope to see you here again soon. Thanks for joining with us in our civil dialogue and not civil dialogue about the Eastern Conference standings. See you guys soon.
Sixers.